Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear these words from Luke chapter 2. And while they were there, that is, in Bethlehem, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Perhaps in your mind you start to get a picture of the nativity scene. As you walked into the church, you might have seen the nativity scene with the animals and Mary and Joseph, and at the center, little baby Jesus in a manger. And I know a lot of you have nativity scenes that you've set up, and you see the different figures, and at the center is the baby Jesus. And you know, it's an interesting picture, a picture that's very humble in some respects. It is a mystery of our Lord, truly God and truly man. But we see in this manger a little tiny baby. Now, I know that a number of you have had the experience of holding a newborn baby. And you know then the tiny little features that the little baby has, the tiny little fingers and the tiny little fingernails on the fingers, the tiny little toes, and the little eyes that and the little face that is so expressive as it's there in your arms wiggling around a little bit. And we have this amazing thing, this little Christ child who has been laid in a feeding trough because there's not room other places. You can hear the rustling of the hay as the child is moving around and maybe some soft noises from the child. And this is a child that had recently been inside a mother's womb, who came forth from the birth canal and was cleaned off after the birth. The umbilical cord was cut and was wrapped then tightly in cloths. This is such an amazing, humble picture of humanity. And we see that in the manger. And yet, this is no ordinary child, and we know that, and that's what we celebrate today. Because the birth of a child is a wonderful thing, and we celebrate that, but this child is very special. As we talked about last week, the angels announced the birth of this child. I mean, that's quite an announcement, to have angels announce the birth of a child. But there in the manger is somebody incredibly significant. The Christmas epistle from Hebrews chapter 1 speaks of this person. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power." Now, this is something that we cannot fully wrap our minds around, that the little Christ child in the manger, the one with the little wiggly fingers and toes, was the one who was there, pre-incarnate, at the creation of the world. We can't wrap our minds around that, but this is not a mere child, but rather God in human flesh, whom the prophets foretold. I like what Mr. Augustine says about this little child. "Maker of the Son, he is made under the Son. In the Father he remains, from his mother he goes forth. Creator of heaven and earth, he was born on earth under heaven. Unspeakably wise, he is wisely speechless. Filling the world, he lies in a manger. Ruler of the stars, he nurses at his mother's bosom. He is both great in the nature of God and small in the form of a servant. But so that his greatness is not diminished by his smallness, nor his smallness overwhelmed by his greatness." This is the one that we hear about also in John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And in Colossians chapter 1, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is the one who's in the manger. As we confess in the Nicene Creed, this is God of God, light of light, very God of very God. And think about this. This Jesus, who is there in the manger, he was there not only at the creation of the world, but he was there when Adam and Eve fell into sin. He was there when Adam and Eve chose to do their own thing and go their own way. And he was there. And so even back in Genesis 3:15, as you might recall, we hear the words that will bring hope. Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. These are words spoken to Satan saying, you know what, Satan? You're going down. Yes, so Adam and Eve made a mess of the world. But there's going to be a plan. There's a plan in place to redeem the world, to save the world. And you know, when we think about heroic stories, you can think about superhero movies, you can think about those epic stories of some big, strong, powerful hero coming into the world to rescue. When we see the little child in the manger, perhaps it's a surprise. Perhaps it's a surprise to the world. A world expecting something a little different, something more grand, something more spectacular. But yet God chose to send this little baby who would, in fact, grow up and seem rather ordinary to most people. But this is the one who would heal the sick and raise the dead, but one who would offer himself on the cross. It seems kind of counterproductive to die in order to bring victory. And yet that's what our Lord did. As we hear in the explanation to the second article of the Creed of this one we call Jesus, I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. So what is so significant about this? What is so significant about this one who is in the manger? Well, he is true God and true man, come to save you. And why was it important? Why was it necessary for him to be true man? Why was that so important? Well, reading from the Catechism, why was it necessary for our Savior to be true man? Well, to act in our place under the law and fulfill it for us. And also to be able to suffer and die for our guilt because we failed to keep the law. And why was it necessary for our Lord to be true God? Well, Christ had to be true God in order that his fulfilling of the law, his life, suffering, and death, might be a sufficient ransom for all people, and that he might be able to overcome death and the devil for us. As Hebrews chapter 2 says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. And Galatians chapter 4 verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And this one who came for you in the manger, who is now risen from the dead, is the one who will be with you, who comes to you in his word, who comes in the Lord's Supper. I like the words that a particular pastor wrote, Pastor Jonathan Krenz, and I like these words about our Lord. He says, to have the Christ child as Lord is to have the God who puts his skin in the game to save you, a flesh and blood God who dies the accursed death of the cross and is risen bodily from the dead on the third day, who has ascended into heaven bodily and bodily sits at the right hand of the Father, living and reigning with him and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. To have the Christ child as Lord means that you are reconciled to God, who loves you and bids you to call upon him as Father, who hears your prayers and answers for Jesus' sake, who provides for all your needs and delivers you in the day of trouble. And on this Christmas day, we celebrate that the risen Lord is there in the Lord's Supper, bodily for you, for the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of faith. And this is the Lord God who will come again with power and great glory. This is the Jesus who is worshipped by angels. As Revelation chapter 5, 11 says, "Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" So as you look at the nativity scene today, I want you to think about this amazing Lord and Savior who is true God and true man for you. I just want to share one more story with you that I found really touching. There's a Christmas special that came out a while back in the 1980s, and it's called Mr. Kruger's Christmas. And there's this guy named Willie, and Willie is a janitor. And he is there in his living room, and he's looking at his nativity scene, and he's picking up the figures and putting them back down, and he picks up the figure of the Christ child in the manger, and he picks it up, and he puts it down, and then he starts thinking, and it's almost like he's transported for a moment into the manger scene itself. And in this movie, you see Willie, as he's walking through these different people, he sees these shepherds, and he sees all these people just staring in awe at something. And as he walks through the crowd of people, he gets to where he sees this little baby in the manger, this little baby wiggling around and looking at him. And Willie walks up to the manger, and he's just in awe as his mouth opens and he looks at the Christ child. And he begins talking to the baby Jesus. He says, "I'm Willie Kruger, custodian over at the Beck Apartments, but you know that. I didn't bring a gift, but I guess that's not important. Thank you for everything you've done for me. For as long as I can remember, you've been right by my side. I'll never forget when you walked with me during those few hours after I lost my wife. I've always been able to count on you when I felt dark inside. You're right there every time. Even when I didn't feel good about myself, I knew that you cared for me. I love you. You're my closest, my finest friend, and that means that I can hold my head high wherever I go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you." And what a privilege it is that because of what Christ has done, we can speak to our Lord in such a way and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming for me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for rising for me. And thank you for the new life which you have given to me." May you rejoice in the one who came in the manger for you and who is risen and who is with you during this Christmas season and the rest of the year. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.